Today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. Catechism classes will be this Saturday, November 9th, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. And there are some feasts this week, like tomorrow, which is the feast of St. Charles Borromeo. On Friday is the commemoration of the four Holy Crown Martyrs. And on Saturday is the feast of the dedication of the Archbasilica of Our Savior. Epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers of against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness on high. Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and stand in all things perfect. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of justice, and having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace, in all things taking up the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the most wicked one, and take upon you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is, the Word of God. Please stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who desired to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun the settlement, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had no means of paying, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. But the servant fell down and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And moved with compassion, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But as that servant went out, he met one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hold of him and throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." His fellow servant therefore fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." But he would not, but went away and cast him into prison until he should pay what was due. His fellow servants, therefore, seeing what had happened, were very much saddened. They went and informed their master of what had taken place. Then his master called him and said to him, "Wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou didst entreat me. Shouldst not thou also have had pity on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his master, being angry, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So also my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not each forgive your brothers from your hearts. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Notice that, just as a little lesson for you, because we don't feel like we're tied together, you and me, but this parable is a good example of how closely we are tied together, because the man was sold, was ordered to be sold, who owed the big debt, and his wife, his family. And that's a good example of how closely we are tied together in the redemption. We all have the same life, don't we? We all have God's life in us. We're much more closely tied together than we could ever imagine. And so you see how much of effect we have on each other in our faults and our virtues. We affect each other directly through our life, of the life we have of God in us. And of course, we have God to thank for that, because we are closely tied together to Christ. So what a great boon this is for us. And this parable that our Lord tells us, at first glance, we don't realize how what a great distance there is between these two men, these two servants. The first one owes in the billions. That's how much his debt is. Something like $3 to $4 billion he owes his master. So you can see how utterly impossible it would be for him to ever pay it. And the second one owes him a few dollars. And so what is being clarified by our Lord and Savior in this is that our debt to him is infinite. That's what is being brought out. We could never possibly pay it. Not only a debt of thanksgiving, but especially the debt that we owe because of our sins, the debt of punishment that is ours. How much punishment do we have coming to us because of our sins? We will, of course, repay the debt of thanksgiving for all eternity, but that doesn't work for the punishment that we have coming to us, does it? Hopefully, we won't be paying that for eternity. We determine the degree of our offense. We know that we repeat things, but it's important to know these things. And so we know that we gauge the degree of our offense primarily by the person that we offend. So we know that it's much worse for us to offend a loved one than it is a stranger. And so when we offend God, that's an infinite offense. He is infinitely offended, God, by even our venial sins. because he is infinitely good and honorable and loving and truthful. Everything about God is infinite, and we offend him, and even a small offense has infinite effects. If we can say that about our venial sins, what can we say about our mortal sins? Let's not think about that. It's too depressing. But what we have done by our, at least our mortal sins, is we have attempted to put our God to death, and we have been successful, haven't we? We have put him to death. What do we deserve after having put our God to death? Knowingly, willingly, right? What do we deserve? Well, we know what we would want if someone put us to death, but that can't calculate that, can we? Let's say someone put the person that we loved the most, say they murdered them. What would we demand? And also, even if we had a big heart and we were willing to forgive that person for having murdered our loved one, there would still be punishment meted out, wouldn't there? Wouldn't that person still deserve to be punished, even if he wasn't or she wasn't put to death as their punishment? Wouldn't they deserve some great suffering? Wouldn't we demand that? That's what our society demands, and rightly so. How great would that be? But we haven't put a person to death, we've put God to death. Knowingly. Of course, we could be forgiven if we had great sorrow, as St. Peter had. But who here has sorrow like that? Even he wept the rest of his life. Who has sorrow for his or her sins, even close to that of St. Peter? What do we deserve? And the just man, sacred scripture says, falls 7 times a day. That means the holy man. In other words, we're constantly sinning, aren't we? Our debt is getting greater and greater because we're not doing penance. We're not sorry. Very little are we sorry, considering the enormous offenses we are guilty of. And our debt is getting larger and larger. So our case is impossible. Never hold a grudge against anybody, brethren. No matter what that person does to you, remember our prayer. Many years ago, a man lived who we all know very well. We know who he was, Karl Marx, who created, in a manner of speaking, communism. He had some daughters. And one day, a friend of one of Karl Marx's daughters was speaking with her, and they got onto the subject of religion, and his daughter said to her friend, I was raised without any religion, and I do not believe in God. And she began to think. And she said, but the other day, I was reading a book in German, and there was a prayer in that book. And if the God of that prayer exists, I think I could believe in him. And her friend said, what was that prayer? And she began to recite from memory the Our Father. That's what a great prayer that is. And in that prayer, which is our prayer, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And if you have any grudges whatsoever, you're praying that God would damn you. You're asking God not to forgive you. So don't ever hold a grudge for a second. When we are tempted in this wise, we try to always remember our prayer. And we say that prayer. And we try to forgive that person immediately. The epistle for today's Mass is all about this soldier and his battle. It's all about, St. Paul wrote this about soldiers. And those soldiers are you and me. And the battle that we fight is far greater, of greater consequence than any of the battles that we have ever heard of in this world. Much greater consequences than any of the world wars. Because our battle has eternal consequences, doesn't it? The world wars in themselves were nothing. Certainly the individuals in them, like you and me, were fighting their own battles. Our enemies are much more powerful than the Allies or any other army that ever existed. Our enemies are the devils. And they are far, far above us in strength, in intelligence. There's no comparison between us and them. None whatsoever. And so St. Paul says that what is necessary is courage and weapons in order to win this battle. And the courage comes from just the knowledge, the certainty that we have that Christ is fighting on our side, that he is helping us. We can't win anything without his help. You must have tried at some point to resist some temptation without prayer. You must have tried that. It can't be done. If you were able to do it without praying, it is because you prayed previously. That's the only reason. Every single time, even for the smallest temptation, you'll always lose. And then if you pray, then you'll be victorious. Surely you've experienced that. You can't win. And St. Paul refers to our enemy as being in high places. That's because the devils are all around us. They're above us and below us and surrounding us. These devils. And he says they come down and tempt us. St. Jerome believed, and he says, that the space between heaven and earth, and that's big space, isn't it? We don't know how big it is. We don't know exactly how far away heaven is, but it's big space. St. Jerome says that that is completely filled with devils. And you don't need much intelligence to see that they rule this world, don't they? They rule in governments. They rule everywhere, evil spirits. And so we can't possibly win if we are not devoted to prayer. It talks about the belt of the soldier. The belt of the soldier is our love of the truth, our sincerity. And we keep our promises. We know people who do not keep their promises. They are in trouble. You must love the truth. You must always be sincere, no matter what. And then St. Paul says that the breastplate that protects us from all of the weapons of our enemies is justice. And you know what justice is? That's holiness. You have to be devoted to holiness. Please, please, brethren, do not imagine that holiness is not for you. We would suggest that you keep this as your, at least one of your mottos. If holiness is not for me, then heaven is not for me. If you are not holy, you cannot reach heaven. And so at least we tell you this. You must pray for it and pray for it often. Ask God to make you holy. We are sons of God. And normally, when you have a son and a father, you have the father over here, and then you have the son over here. They are separate. The father, in some minor way, produces his son. God does most of the work. He creates the soul. See, they're separate, father and son. But this isn't the case with us. Our Father when he gives us life, it's his life. So how can we possibly share the life of our Father if we are not united with him? It's his life that we have. He didn't produce us, now we're over here and he's over here. We have his life. So that means we're one with him. He dwells in us as long as we have his life. We commit a mortal sin, we lose his life, we lose him. He's no longer with us. So we have God in us. We have sanctifying grace, and that means that God is here. Because it's his life, we have to have God in order to have his life. God has to be with us for us to be in the state of grace. We have to have God right here. As soon as he's not here, we're dead. And this is the main reason why God dwells in us, is so that we can share his life. Listen closely. Are you listening? This was at the Last Supper. See, these are the words of Christ here present, speaking to his Father. Yet not for these only do I pray, but for those also who through their word are to believe in me, that all may be one, even as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Isn't that amazing? Just the way God the Son and God the Father are united, that's the way we are one with them. How could you not want to be holy, knowing that God is, that you are united with him the way he is with himself? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and that thou hast loved them, that thou hast loved them, that's you, even as thou hast loved me. God the Father loves you as he loves his Son. It's almost beyond belief. So this is how we are devoted to holiness. And if we have this, then we are immune from all the attacks of these superpowers, supervillains above us. Just one more thing I want to read to you. This is from St. Anthony. There he is, right there. St. Anthony tells us the following example. One day, someone knocked very loudly at the gate of the monastery. This is St. Anthony talking here. Listen closely. You should wake up if you're not awake. I myself went to see who was there. When I opened the gate, I was very much frightened, for I saw standing before me a man of great stature. And I asked him who he was. "I am Satan," he answered. "I want to know why it is that you Christians are always cursing me. For at the first misfortune that comes to you, you always say, 'Cursed be the devil.'" I answered, "We have great reason to curse you, for you are always tempting us and laying snares to drag us into sin." Satan answered, "I am often not so much to blame as you think. For people are often the cause of their own ruin by seeking the occasions of sin. Hoping that they will not fall, although they know how frail they are. I never could overcome them if they only used the weapons God has put into their hands. So they need not blame me, nor curse me so much, since it is entirely their own fault that they are lost." And he was speaking the truth there. If anyone is lost, it is through his own fault or her own fault. So lastly, brethren, the shoes that St. Paul is talking about are the soldier's shoes, boots. And he says that is the desire to spread the gospel. If it ever comes up, if you ever get an opportunity, you make sure that you preach the gospel to those whom you know. Every opportunity. That doesn't mean you preach to them always. It just means if you think that someone will listen to you, then preach. The shield that St. Paul mentions that is against the shield, against the fiery darts of the enemy. What that is a reference to is they would light their arrows on fire and shoot them into the air, and they would start fires in the camps. Burn up their tents or their homes, their castles. And the only thing that would protect against these darts of fire would be something metal. He says, that's your faith. And then the helmet is, it's not perfectly clear. He's talking about the virtue of hope. Your faith and your hope. And that simply means that is the center of your life. Our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. Your prayer life. If this is the center of your life, then you are well protected, because then the world, its power, its possessions, and its pleasures, even its pleasures, will not have any sway over you, because those things don't matter. You easily defend yourself against them, because this is your life here. St. Francis de Sales gives this advice to all of us. And you remember that he is the spiritual director par excellence, St. Francis de Sales. He recommends, this is for everyone, not just us. We know you might be a little surprised by this, but he recommends that you all pray, at least part of the time, in Latin. Do you do that? We pray most of the time in Latin, not just our prayers of the Mass and our divine office, but when we say our rosary, when we say our litanies and so on and so forth. We pray in Latin. And that's what he says. He says you should do that too. It is, we say, the prayer of the angels. If you don't pray in Latin, the angels translate for you. They take your prayers to heaven and they translate them. So you don't need your angel so much. If you pray in Latin, God will hear you directly. May God bless you.